Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hugh Manning, congratulations. Yes, sir.
Thank y'all, brother.
Yeah, have a great day. You too. He is Ca'Trell Macklin. So happy for him that he's broken through the way he has, because, again, Ca'Trell Macklin's a guy who's always done it the right way. Just a righteous brother. And it feels like some of this, you know, some of what's happening to him. Like, my man getting hotel rooms and free tickets now. He's still living down here in Memphis. It feels like some of this is just is karma, man. It's karma. You know, you put that good energy off into the world, good things are going to happen to you. But, yeah, man, we can't, Ca'Trell, no, we can't have him down there at FedEx Forum with that same, stay on that side. Especially if we play the Timberwolves. I should have said that part to him.
We in Minnesota now.
Who you with in the playoffs next
year? We in Minnesota
year.
Now.
When we get Minnesota, he's in Minnesota. They're, yeah. He is theirs. They are his. Again, we're going to see Ca'Trell Macklin down there at FedEx Forum at a Grizzlies game. He won't have that costume on. Can you believe he's blown up like this?
Oh, it's great.
ESPN's call. He was on TNT's. Like, well,
I think it's strange as hell, but I'm happy for him.
I've never seen anything like it where it's not. Dude, a guy living here, lifelong Minnesota fan,
yeah,
becomes a super fan up there in the matter of one playoff series. It's like, what were Minnesota fans doing before? Where was their super fan? You know how we got Bongo Lady and everything else? Yeah. Like, we have some. Like, characters. Minnesota didn't already have... This guy goes right in and Bogarts and takes over their whole fan base.
Well, this is...
From Memphis. But that's the power of the Macklins, too. And again, his dad could light up a room.
I think it's a lot like these...
broadcast.
I think it's a lot like these northern markets. Much like Nashville, it's very inauthentic. You know, they go to other places to get their heroes. Like, for example, Nashville, you go there and there's Elvis statues. Elvis is Memphis's. Much like this story, the Timberwolves have to go to Memphis, of all places, to get their super fan. How desperate is that? How pathetic is that?
It doesn't reflect well on them. No. We love what Ca'Trell has, and we
so
respect
generic.
It. Like, because he's gone in and taken
generic.
Over. But that's the point I'm making. What does it say about them?
It says a lot about Minnesota.
Y'all let a Memphian come up there and take it over. That speaks to the power of the Memphis spirit.
And that's taking nothing away from him as
no,
a
that's
super
what I'm saying.
Fan.
He knows how much we respect it. So we're talking about their fans.
I'm talking about their
that have
their
allow Memphis to come in there and bogart that and take over like that. And that's still, he's a light for, have you seen the pictures?
I've seen
running up to him now.
Yes.
He's super fan number
one. He's like a secondary mascot up there.
There's you know. Nothing like it here in Memphis.
Now,
and I do miss, he's got too many jobs now and he's gone viral and national, but we do miss Ultimate Preps.
I must ask your personal opinion on Wally friggin' Zerbe.
I think that's what makes the story even weirder, and he acknowledged that the guy that really reeled him in to Timberwolves basketball, and he throws on KG later, but you heard it, and he's told this in all the stories. I find it so random and odd.
It's random as hell.
It was Wally Zerbiak.
Who,
while Ca'Trell Macklin was at Arlington,
yes,
playing,
was a three-point shootout specialist.
Had set records modeled his game after, Wally.
That's great.
It's great respect for Wally.
There might only be one human in the history of basketball that's modeled their game after Wally Szczerbiak.
He is the only Memphian.
One. He's one of one.
In this case, he's black. And he's the only Memphian that came up modeling his game.
Also black.
And how crazy is that?
But I give him props.
But it's awesome.
Look where it's gotten him.
That's what I say, though. This isn't just something that's new because they were hit this playoffs and he goes in there. He's been a lifelong Minnesota fan.
So exactly.
Weirdly, Wally Szczerbiak brought him in.
Yes.
And it's payoff now, I'm telling y'all, for the positive influence and him, you know, on everything that he's touched, he's tried to provide a positive approach and light to and give something.
And wrapping a bow on it for the memory of his father and that whole thing is, I think, that's what
adds something to the story that's just so much different. You see so much of his father in him.
Yes.
And obviously, he's living his life the way that he is, living in the present because of what was taken away from him so tragically. He mentioned it 11 years ago. In 2013, we lost Corey Macklin to a car accident. We talked about it yesterday. When I couldn't believe this story, And just so happened we reached out after the conversation and was able to get Cottrell on. He's got Minnesota interviews lined up. He got to go get on ESPN and everything else. What do we tell you about Nationals? Always a Memphis tie. And this one's craziest one ever. You'll continue to read and about Cottrell Macklin and what's going on right now. I hope for his sake Minnesota continues to advance, comes back from this 0-1 deficit. We will talk about the position they're in. We'll talk Pacers Celtics from last night. That and much more. Probably also revisit just for a little while that NCAA settlement. Something I want to touch on, too. Ja Morant's got a basketball camp. A lot of folks got a basketball camp. But there's something about this one that bothers me. And I feels like missed opportunity. So I'll talk about it. We're going to talk about that with Anthony Sain come third hour. Much more to get to in second hour. You're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM ESPN. And appreciate Cottrell Macklin. That last I was just texting with him. Sent me this picture, this Minnesota fan that drew a picture of him from one of the games, the playoff games. They're as crazy about him as they are about
It's a little bit like wrestling, isn't it? If you think about it.
It's almost like they've been waiting on him to come into their lives for years.
Yes!
A super fan was missing within their fan base.
Here he has appeared.
Has come. This Memphis resident.
Here he is.
Ultimate Preps former host. Yeah, love Cottrell. I just love the way
we in Minnesota now.
I just told him, you put positivity out in the world
and it comes
back to you in ways you never imagined.
That's just
the way the world works.
And it had, in this case, the state of Minnesota, don't you know?
I think you and I live by that, right? We try to put positivity out into the world.
I follow your lead on that because you are the king of this. Like what you
That's
put
why we
out
do
into
respect
the earth.
Burgers.
When you put out something into the earth, you receive it back, in turn.
But I don't. The thing I admire so much, I don't live as in the moment, in the present. I still, that's a risk. I don't want to do it right now. He's not living like that. I can still learn so much from a guy like Cottrell Macklin, the way he's living his life. Again, appreciate his time. Every day driving his time, we do the rundown. Let's do that.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
So, pretty much put this off for as long as I could. Because there's really not much to discuss anymore when it comes to Pacers and Celtics. Celtics get the game two win last night, 126-110. Fade Brad goes down. Brad picked the Celtics and they covered. That's always a bummer.
They're integrity picks, Jason. I can't sit here and lie and pick the Pacers.
It's proof that you aren't trying to go out and pick losers so we can pull off some wacky segment here.
That would not be authentic.
It's proof that you are going with what you believe,
right. Yes.
And these are integrity picks.
Integrity picks.
Last night, again, two words, Jaylen Brown. To me, that is the story and continues to be, especially after he gave you life with the shot there, 7 seconds left at the end of game one that forced overtime. This was after the Pacers had, frankly, should have put the game away.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown gave them new life, allowed the Celtics to run off with that. Then you come back with a night like he had last night, 40 points in that 126-110 win. And he kind of backed up what I had been saying about him yesterday on the radio talking with Brad, that I trust Jaylen Brown more than I do Jason Tatum. Because right now, again, if I need a bucket, well, it's Jaylen Brown that I trust is going to go to the basket.
Yes.
And if I need a big shot, we're saying it's Jaylen Brown that's knocking it down. And while I understand that Jason Tatum again, led the team all regular season points, rebounds, assists. Like, that's impressive. That feels like the heart of this team right now is that Jaylen Brown, who's playing, we saw it come out last night with a chip on his shoulder, now against the guy who took his spot, he feels like, on the All-NBA teams. Mm-hmm. Again, Jaylen Brown not making it last guy off. Tyrese Haliburton, last guy on. You're playing against that guy, but you're also feeling like, and he said it last night, he said he looks around, there are players held up in this league that he don't believe are better than him on both ends of the floor. He said as much. He said that, you know, they asked him how much is a, you know, how much of a motivator not making the All-NBA team was. He said, man, we're two games away from the finals. I don't give a, you know what.
Yeah.
And what does that tell you when you talk like that? Oh, you care. Yeah. You absolutely care. And he played like it, back to the point. But getting back to, you know, what ultimately ended up being a, you know, a snoozer of a game, I suppose you could say, you know, Indiana had a chance. But frankly, by the end of it, Rick Carlisle was waving the white flag, especially after Haliburton goes down in the third quarter and is done. Rick Carlisle was pretty much throwing the towel in late. And so, no, this wasn't going to be like the end of game one where you had something that you had to stick in for the end for. Celtics with too much firepower, no question about that. And again, not that Jason Tatum didn't play well. He and Derek White both had 23 points, but it's what Jaylen Brown has done. And in fact, I think, frankly, he's flipped the odds for MVP of this series to him mm-hmm. over Jason Tatum based on the two performances. And here's the deal. Here's what I'm willing to say. I think with Jaylen Brown playing like this, they're going to win the title.
Yes.
Especially when you factor in Porzingis. And the fact that they're now up 2-0, which allows them, I don't know about you, I would continue to rest him now. The hope was you'd get him back after two games. No need to force that. You're up 2-0. You're in total control. Oh, by the way, Tyrese Haliburton is injured with a hamstring injury. Continue to sit him.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure he's right. Save him for the finals. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to get you through this the rest of the way. And again, that even you get a healthier Porzingis than you would have got if you'd brought him back after two games. That strengthens your cause. But I go back to what I said there at the top. This Jaylen Brown, this one that's leading the Celtics, this one that's angry and playing like it and gets me what I need when I need it, unlike Tatum, who again was okay with taking threes and everything else last night, and just passive for me.
Yes.
That's my guy, Jaylen Brown. But I guess for now, he will continue to be Robin. He's a hell of a Robin. I think they're going to win the finals again if he plays like this. I don't care if it's Dallas or Minnesota. And I have underestimated Dallas at every turn. But the Celtics, particularly if they're going to get Porzingis back and if their big two's playing like this, but Jaylen Brown said, okay, this is mine, the way it feels like he has, give me the guy with the chip on his shoulder and the team that's been here a bunch. And frankly, needs to win it. As we said, there are no excuses anymore with Denver out.
No.
Because the best player in the world's out. The defending champion, with all the experience, is out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dallas been to a Western Conference Finals. They never been to a Finals with Luka Doncic. There's no excuse for Boston not to win it. And, you know, I questioned Jaylen Brown at one point. Again, I was telling you yesterday, like, you know, Golden State, his ball handling was exposed. He's a turnover machine. How much do you care? Are you playing in the shadow of Jason Tatum so you don't like it? Like, seems like you guys got a disconnect? Man, that dude's locked in on one thing, and that's winning a championship. And I don't have to buy it from him by what he's saying afterwards in the presser. I can tell by the way he's playing right now. And so that's my thing, is my eyes have been open to Jaylen Brown is the life and the fire and the spirit of this team right now. And he's playing at such a high level, I don't think anything can stop him. The Celtics.
So the other guy, Derek White, has been the other revelation for me.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because he's been tremendous in these playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Derek White and then the mix with Drew Holiday, even without Porzingis and Pritchard and their role players. But the thing I think we can both agree on is now that the Pacers are banged up like this with Haliburton, I think
over.
Whoever wins the West, whether it's Minnesota or Dallas, will give – and I agree with you. I think the Celtics are going to win it all. I still think there'll be a better series than what we're about to see the rest of this Eastern Conference playoffs.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the other part about getting this done is that I think I read it can be up to 10 days rest that the Celtics can get.
Oh, if they go 7 in the Mavs, if
you
they sweep out.
You've got to figure Dallas and Minnesota are going to beat each other up for a while.
Yeah, they're going to go back and forth.
And so the rest that they can get between now and the finals.
Oh, yeah.
You know, making sure Porzingis is good. You can ramp him up there as opposed to feeling like you got to throw him back into this Indiana series to get him some
run. That's a problem.
But having that much of a rest advantage,
yes.
look at how tired Anthony Edwards is right now. It's not just him. It's that Minnesota team because of the seven-game series.
Same thing.
Because of the seven-game series, the grueling seven-game series they just came off of. So imagine the advantage that is for the Celtics if they take care of this thing 4-0.
Yep.
You know, and instead of the gentleman sweep even. And they exercise their game two demons.
Yeah.
Last night.
You were right. Yeah, I got a lot of texts and tweets about this, by the way.
Both of them, lost both of them in these playoffs, but also their last one in the Eastern Conference Finals, their game two. These were all at home game twos. Lost three straight going back to last year's playoffs. That's out the window.
I'm glad you brought up the game two demons, because I had several Boston Celtics fans, including Matt Stark, our very own Matt Stark, tweeted and texted at me and said, look, you need to stop. You need to stop with these Brad's bets picking the Boston Celtics in game twos. Last night, we exercised that demon, and the Boston Celtics, they beat the spread last night.
Yeah, you did. Now, Boston has shown, because at one point we thought they were immune to fade, Brad. They've shown they will fall sometimes.
They have fallen.
There have been times where they have not covered when you've picked them in the big number and everything else.
They've gone both ways.
They are not immune.
No.
But they are strong.
But now it's not some game two hex, I guess, is where I was going with that.
I want to say you've taken, and I wish I had kept some count of this. I could go back and add it up. But I want to say you've taken Celtics and the points just about every time they've played here.
Basically, that's the Heat series I did, the Magic series, and this series. And I think I've lost more than I've won on them. You know, especially with the spread. Because remember, as we pointed out, they had a double-digit 20-point loss to the Magic. Well, no. Was it the Heat series? One of these, there was like a 14-point spread that we lost on the Celtics. And these spreads, they're going to just keep going up, especially if Haliburton's not playing. Like, if it's, I think I saw the line, and we'll talk about this coming up later in this hour.
I know where you're going, because I thought
this too. It's at 7 right now.
Once Haliburton is either
possibly ruled out,
that number's going up. You catch a break because the number you lock
down.
I mean,
I think
lower.
If Haliburton, this should be a double digit. I mean, it's at seven right now.
That's what I'm thinking. And again, we don't have our man here, but I'm thinking from him, what's going to happen is that line's going to go up once he gets declared out of that game.
Absolutely.
But you get to lock in at 7. And again, we don't want to give too much faith, Brad, but I can tell
it actually
by that
doesn't
little,
help our
I
listeners.
Can tell by the little twinkle in your eye. Yeah, it doesn't help our listeners at all, because you're going to get a better number.
That's right.
Than there's going to be before he's ruled out, right?
Yes.
Because you're
going to
get
exactly what I'm thinking.
Whatever it is, 7-8, whatever it is now, we'll do that in fade, Brad.
Okay.
But anyway, again, my take on the Celtics: Jaylen Brown's leading this team, and if he's playing like this, and they're getting a healthy Porzingis back, and they're getting 9-10 days of rest because they took care of the Pacers, and Minnesota and Dallas went 7, they're winning the finals.
Yep.
Next story.
Jason and listeners, don't roll your eyes at this story, because this is an ESPN.com story. This is widely being talked about on ESPN regarding Bronny James.
Okay.
There are real bets coming in, and this includes BetMGM reports and FanDuel reports. FanDuel reports that Bronny James is getting 6% of the handle from bettors to go first overall in the NBA draft. BetMGM has that figure at 4% of the handles coming in for Bronny James to be not the second round, the first overall pick, okay? And here's why. Many people that are betting on Bronny James to be the first overall pick in the draft, and by the way, they're saying that there are some books as high as 20% that have him going first overall. There's also some that are saying, if not first, second. But, of course, Atlanta has the first pick. Follow me here.
Okay.
Because LeBron James and the free agency thing is sitting out there. So they're thinking, these bettors that are betting on Bronny James to go first overall, that the Atlanta Hawks are going to just miraculously decide, screw this draft. These picks are all bad. There's no declared home run hitter in any of these picks in the top 10. We're going to pick Bronny because he actually played pretty well in the combine. The combine, he looks great. Probably worked himself into the draft in the combine. That the Atlanta Hawks, 5% of the handles in some of these books, first overall, so just so they could have some sort of a glimpse at possibly landing LeBron James and then obviously having Bronny. What do you think of that? Is that crazy? It's crazy, isn't it?
Look at me.
What is my face telling you? But think about this.
I thought what you were going to tell me is that it's first round. Not first pick.
Some are saying Atlanta first overall,
right,
including 4% of the handles.
Right, you're saying this is about the number one pick. That's crazy.
30% at FanDuel, James has attracted 30% of the tickets to be
selected. I have a hard time believing it.
the most of any player on the sportsbook. BetMGM reports that the USC guard, 36% of the bets, well ahead of Alex Saar at minus 300, who has the second most at 14%. James was initially listed in the number one overall market at DraftKings, but found himself in the field as of Thursday afternoon. So people, even if they didn't put him in, they think that this kid is going to go in the first round. Maybe some saying first overall. I mean, here's the thing.
But Atlanta's not doing that. So they would be drafting instead of Saar, who's the consensus favorite to be number one. He's the odds pick right now to
minus
go number 300
one. Or 200 in some books.
They're drafting Bronny one to get LeBron for what, 2 years, for whatever, you know, for the rest of his career.
Essentially 2 years. That's basically what you'd be doing if you're thinking about.
Well, it doesn't get you a championship, so it's not worth it.
You know,
they would probably tell themselves LeBron in Atlanta for however many years he's got left, it, you know, is good, and we'll take our chances. We want to be the Lakers. We want to have him and just say we've got him and got it. We're a contender with him. It wouldn't produce a championship. And so, again, I would tell you, you're wasting that pick in a way that would go down in history.
Mm-hmm.
History. Do you understand what
I'm saying? I do understand what you're saying.
This is if we're saying one. So I can't believe anybody is buying that theory enough to actually go.
Some are
to
saying first overall,
book.
A lot of them saying first round.
Yeah, well, first round feels like Woj and the crew, Clutch Sports, they've been working on that for a while.
It is
and
kind I, of like I a believe, weird kind
I believe
of mob.
That, I believe I can see a world where he's going first round.
Yes.
What is not happening is the Atlanta Hawks mm-hmm. taking him number one.
Yes.
And I can't believe that anybody would, based on that theory, right, this is Atlanta's ticket to get LeBron because they want him and everything. I can't believe people would actually put money on that.
Is he going to be a bust? Do you think Bronny's going to be a bust based
on? No, he's just going to have to be. He doesn't necessarily have to be a bust. What he has to be, you guys need to let him cook. If you're going to bring him up right now, he's going to be playing a lot of G League basketball, obviously.
Yes.
He's going to need time.
Yeah.
He basically played no college basketball, half a season, if that, because of the congenitive, the heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
This is a real ESPN story.
Bronny can't be LeBron.
Yes.
No, but can he be, like he said, guys he looks up to, Drew Holiday types.
Right.
You know, guys who are good two-way players. Derek White type. Now, I would tell you, no, what is he, 6'1"?
He's short.
He doesn't have even their height. Drew Holiday, 6'2", 6'3"?
Yes.
Maybe even 6'4"?
No, I think Drew's taller than Bronny.
So they don't, but that's what he's saying is I can go try to be a role player.
Right.
And again, I don't think he gets to Drew Holiday level. Mm-hmm. I mean, Drew Holiday's, you know, in terms of two-way players, he's one of the best in the league. But can you carve yourself out a role like that at your size, you know, using your athleticism where you're a two-way impact guy and a backup, you know, as a backup point guard in this league? Could he make decent money doing that for a career? Yeah. It won't come close to filling the shoes of his dad, but this kid knows. He's not trying to be his dad.
Yeah.
And so as long as, you know, he gets the proper development, some organization's going to be patient enough. And frankly, it's going to be keeping him down there, keeping him playing. Because you'll rot sitting on an NBA bench. Nobody's going to play you in a competitive situation.
No.
And so you'll rot and not play. Bronny needs to play. And that's why I've always said, go back to college.
Yes.
You know, so you go star for a team there. You know, again, they're sure he's played great for Sierra Canyon. Credit the kid. Under a lot of pressure, he's made himself into a prospect. It's not all because you're LeBron's kid. Like, he's earned some of this with the player that he's improved into. Like, mm-hmm. as a defender, he's tough. Decision maker, he's good.
He's athletic. His vertical
like,
is
he's earned
well,
what he's gotten. And I also appreciate, like, there's no crazy dreams that you're going to be you know, that you should, you know, be 1A for somebody's franchise. That's not who you're going to be.
Right.
The dreams seem to be, you know, ones that are realistic for him. He realizes, I can't go make the money my dad did.
Yeah.
Hell, frankly, I don't need it. I got my dad's money. If I can just make any NBA check, that'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wish LeBron would, you know, really go out of his way to not force this, to look at the college option in the sense that, man, go be the leader of a team first.
Yes.
You know, go figure out how to lead before you're coming up to this level. Go somewhere where it can be about you and making other players better first before you come here. And who knows? You could toil in the G League for a couple of years, get exposed, get tired of it, and be done. Want to say, man, I'm done with this. Whereas if you know, he needs to be playing. And I've always thought going back to the college level, especially after you only experienced half a season last year, and you did so as a role guy, you didn't even get a chance to have the ball in your hands. That going back to college makes the most sense here. So, Dad, you know, go out of your power not to rush this. Let Bronny be Bronny. Let him be his own man.
The favorite to draft him, according to DraftKings and BetMGM, is the Lakers, the favorite, at plus 180. Also, the second favorite is the Cavaliers, 10-1, the handle leader. That most money coming in on the Cavs to draft Bronny later in the draft. I could see that happening. I could see the Lakers drafting him late and getting a pick. So, Bronny James going to be soon seen, probably in the NBA draft.
Yeah, he'll end up going late first round. I bet. Yep.
Next story.
All right, this is one that's probably hadn't been talked about mainstream yet. But John Morant's got a basketball camp. Brad, it's June 22nd. In case you want to put, actually, you can. It's grades 1 through 8. So Jake can't be in it. Neither can you.
I can't be in the John Morant camp.
No.
Damn it.
John Morant, I'm on my Grizzly.
We like that. I need to work on my jumper.
We like that John Morant's doing a basketball camp, right?
Yeah, that's great.
It is.
Where is it at?
It's
do we know?
Yeah, it's at the Memphis Sports and Event Center.
Oh, the big place in the middle of town. A lot of room for this.
You know the management over there. You've had a tour of that place. You know that
beautiful.
Place. Beautiful.
Great facility.
Beautiful place to have.
Well, you can have 1,000 campers in that place.
Oh, man, you can have a ton. Yeah, there shouldn't be a limit, really, on the number of campers you can have in there.
Yeah, as many as you want.
Grades 1 through 8, as we said. It's one day, June 22nd. It is 9 a.m. through 12:30 p.m. So it's 3.5 hours, okay? Everybody, I mean, that's the nuts and bolts of it. Here's what you'll get. Souvenir autograph from Ja. Camp team photo with Ja. Limited edition Ja Morant basketball pro camp t-shirt. And I believe that this is the first year he's done the camp with pro camps, that while he's done a camp, this is the first time hooking up.
We did one of those with Tony Allen back in the day over at Southwind High School, Jake did.
Okay.
With T.A.
Yeah.
And it was pro.
Saw him the other night with his son at MUS.
Did?
That's what I love. Like, you can reach out and touch Tony. He's in the community.
But pro camps did Tony's camps, too.
Pro camps did Tony's
camps. Yeah, they're legendary. Yeah, they're the best at running these things.
They run them. The player gives it over to them. They run everything.
They handle everything.
And so what's the deal on these? Well, I'm imagining player gets a cut.
Yep.
And then pro camps charges.
They get their cut.
And they get their cut.
Yes. Right. Yeah, and they did a great job with Tony's. Tony's was very tight.
Yeah, it says Pro Camps utilizes a dynamic price structure. The event price is subject to change at any time.
Okay.
Tells you that up front.
I know where we're going here, I think.
Although unlikely, the date, time, and location are subject to change due to circumstance beyond our control. We get all that. John Morant's an NBA player and celebrity and everything else. Additional upgrades available during checkout, apparently. I don't know what those consist of.
Probably buy extras or something here and there.
Here's what I'll tell you, because okay. Brad just told you, everybody's got to get their money. Ja's got to get his money. Pro Camp's got to get their money. For 3.5 hours, it's $179. And again, for those of you all that are, you know, Ja's A1s, and I'm a Ja A1. I want the best for Ja. I want him to be the face, not a face of the league. I want him to be the face. Do not take what I'm saying as me hating on Ja. You see this stuff on social media.
Right. Oh, they take your words out of context. Yeah.
What I'm doing is speaking from my heart.
Sure.
And it's not all on Ja to help to fix the city's problems, to be a role model for the city's kids. You got a whole team of Grizzlies, right? So why you can't just look at Ja and say you the one got to do it. That's not fair to him. But when you're charging $179 for a 3.5 hour camp, I just feel like at the least, and again, I think my partner in crime, Anthony Sang, will agree with me here. Sounds like he's talked about on his show. At the least, it feels like missed opportunity. Memphis is a poor town. We know that, those of us that have lived here for years. Plenty of the sections of this city living in poverty and squalor, right? And plenty kids living in those situations cannot afford $179 for 3.5 hours. Not to mention that, hell, the kids that got parents and everything else, grandparents raised, some of them going to be at work. You're talking about going 3.5 hours. I'm still at work at 12. That's one thing I've had to think about in terms of camps and stuff for my kids.
Yeah.
How long he's going to be there and when the drop-off is. Because a lot of, and especially in these situations, one-parent households,
yeah.
These parents got two jobs.
Yeah.
So this is from 9 to 12:30. Again, I'm not going to beat down the camp here, but my point is it feels like there's a missed opportunity, and I hope more is coming, that we do some free ones. I'm just going to say it. Free. Memphis needs free. The kids in Memphis that can't pay $179 need free. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you either that there aren't Penny Hardaway is charging $349 for the Memphis basketball camp. Now, it's 4 days.
Yeah, it's a week long.
It's 4 days, almost. And you are there all day, and they provide lunch, everything
there
else.
There you go.
You're going to get your picture with Penny. I don't think Penny's doing souvenir autographs. I actually think they're signing stuff over there. I can't speak to that for certain. I think we may have CJ go to Penny's camp for the first time this year.
That's actually not a terrible deal,
is
it?
I'm considering it because I looked.
4 days?
I went through, much like I just went through what you get at Jaws, yeah. I went through Penny's, and it looks like I can justify paying $349. Penny's different than just the Memphis basketball coach. You're doing it with a guy who, frankly, should be in the Hall of Fame. You're getting lunches. And, oh, by the way, it goes from like 9 to 4. It's more of an all-day thing. Right.
Yeah.
It's 3-4-9. My point, he charging too. It's not a free camp. But here's the deal. We have had Lorenzen Wright. We have had, and it continue to have, Thaddeus Young put on a free week-long camp, Brad, down at Mitchell. In conjunction, he does it in partnership with Memphis and Shelby County Schools, but Thaddeus Young, Memphian, does a free camp every summer that cost him money, him time, I'm sure. He ain't making if he is making anything off of it, it ain't some, you know, money that's going to move any needle with him, and I highly doubt he gets a dollar off of it. It's been free for years. That's my point. Where's the free ones for the kids that look up to you just as much as the ones who can afford, whose parents can afford it? Where's the thing for them? And again, I don't want to come down on this so much, so they already got something in the works and they're rolling out. The first one I saw is for $179 for 3.5 hours. Okay, you're going to fill that thing up with kids whose parents can afford it. There's a whole half of town can't even think about being in that. And here's the deal. I go back to it. Like, you know, we're all trying. We're hoping Jock can rebuild his image. My kids all over the city, crazy about that man still. And his shoes. You're selling your shoes to kids. You've got a kid's version and everything else. And so while you may say, and I can, you know, what the Charles Barkley commercial always comes back to me because it just you may say, I'm not a role model in the sense I don't have to be one. I'm not. Well, why are you making it about me, Ja Morant? What about the other players on the team? While I get all that, you're still selling shoes to kids, and so you're saying, come, give me your money to have my shoe, right? You're already getting it there. Why we got to charge $179 for 3.5 hours if we're not going to have a free camp? Again, I get Ja got to get his money. Pro camp's got to get his money. This is going to go off. Kids are going to have a great time. They're going to get to see their idol. But what about the kids in South Memphis, in North Memphis, off Chelsea? Would love to be at something like this. I'm hoping, Brad, there's a free one. Because Thaddeus Young's doing it. Lorenzen did it back in the day. I remember being at the Pyramid. His agent was there. Man, them kids, I don't even remember if there was a court on the floor. It was concrete. I'd been asked to go cover it. And it didn't matter, like, though, you know, that it was free and everything. Those kids were getting T-shirts, having the time of their lives, and Lorenzo had this smile on his face. It's like, I'm doing something for my city. I realize Ja ain't from here. He's not from here. It was a little bit different for Lorenzo. Like, he was one of those kids. But Ja comes from the same, that South Carolina upbringing, the small town. It's not like he comes from some different Hollywood world. He understands that there are a ton of kids in Memphis that don't have. And so, again, I would go back to not this is a missed opportunity, it feels like, to affect, inspire, like we were talking about with Cottrell Macklin, be a positive light for and again, this is not to say Ja hadn't done things for kids all over Memphis, paid for shoes and uniforms for teams, but where's the free camp? We see the one that you're charging for. Man, $179 for 3.5 hours, that ain't a drop in the bucket for most Memphis families. The ones that love you, and can pay for it, are going to do it. So I'm saying, Brad's right. The Memphis Sports and Events Center will be packed out, but there'll be a large faction of Memphis that's not in there because they can't afford to be, and are hoping that you do something free that they can go to. I mean, it's that simple. And again, Ja's doing great things in the community. This is not to say he's doing nothing, although I'm sure some will take it as that. Just seems like missed opportunity, man. You got other NBA guys been around here for years, been doing free ones. Let's do something free for the kids, man. At least one. Doesn't have to be more than nobody's saying you got to do a day long, two long, day week long like that. As Young does, he's from here. We get it. It's different for him. But how about like a 1 day, 1 hour, 2 hour camp that's free for kids? You know, seems like a good idea to me. I hope that idea is coming. I guess too, man. I'll go ahead and put this on there, and John can probably speak to it more next when he comes back in June.
Yeah.
But I hoped the switch over to Lyft
may change things a little bit.
Again, a lot of that, you switching over to Mike Miller, but a lot of what we talked about is understanding, right, the power of relationships, brand building, everything else. Like, and Mike knows Memphis. He knows how bad, you know, those opportunities are needed. And so I'm sure they got something coming down the pike free, right? It just makes too much sense. And you want every kid in Memphis to have an opportunity, not just the one, you know, whose parents can afford to give them that opportunity.
Next story.
So this is the Scottie Scheffler story of the week, because Brian Gilliam is the name. We've identified who the cop is that arrested Scottie Scheffler.
This guy.
It did not have his body camera on and has been penalized by the Louisville Police Department for that. But now, and this is why I think, Jason, the world is sort of like the Truman Show, and I can't stress this enough for my son, and I talk to him about it constantly, and that is the fact that basically, and I even say it this way, basically everything is on video camera now. It doesn't matter where you are in public. If you say that the cop's body camera won, the first thing I thought was, they'll get footage of this. Sure enough, two videos have surfaced of the Scottie Scheffler arrest. Both of them pretty much confirm that Scheffler was confronted by the police, quickly told to stop, did stop, and then after he had a discussion with Officer Gilliam, essentially, Gilliam got him out of the car, very upset, it appears.
Yeah, I saw him hit the car.
And arrested him, cuffed him. Scheffler was seen walking with two officers in handcuffs. And again, the other camera shot is one where you see the vehicle that Scheffler was driving. They address him, and then he stops. They address him, and then he stops. And then he's pulled out of the car. He's arrested. Clearly, officer was probably upset, it appears. But this is the wildest thing, that this has gone this far down, where you have a mugshot of the number one golfer in the world, who basically didn't even say, do you know who I am, but gets arrested and ends up in a mugshot and then plays the second round of the tournament later on in the morning.
I checked it today, but I'm surprised, I hadn't seen an update, but I'm surprised the charges haven't been dropped yet.
Yeah, and that's the weirdest thing.
Especially based on this cop's background and sort of what's in his file.
Well, especially because here's the Scheffler statement. They're not backing down either. He said, this is the statement from Scheffler's attorney, our position remains the same. It will either be dismissed or we will go to trial. We're not interested in settling. So they're not going to settle. They're going to force them to go to trial, or it's going to be dropped. It's not going to be anything in between. And I suspect, I don't know when it's going to happen. Maybe they're going to wait through the 3-day weekend to do this now that these videos are out there. But, man, Louisville police look like jackasses at this point.
Well, one thing I don't understand, though, and I saw the video you're referring to.
There's a couple of them.
And you see the cop slapping the car. I'm not talking about when they're getting him out, but I'm talking about when you can see that car who says he split his pants. And,
yes.
What I'm confused about is that Jeff Darlington, who was out there that day for ESPN and actually recorded a lot of the footage that's out there.
Afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
The ESPN reporter.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was his report.
Yes.
That the cop had been on the car for 10 to 15 yards.
Right.
I don't see that in that video.
No.
The cop on a car for 10 to 15 yards. What I see is a cop that looks like he might have, you know, in trying to stop the vehicle, gets up on it for a little while.
Yeah.
So what I was confused about, Brad, is that is there another part of the sequence where this cop's on this car that we didn't see, because you had an ESPN reporter who was literally right there within bird's eye view and reporting from it. So close, in fact, Scottie Scheffler is asking Jeff Darlington, help me. Can you help me? He asked him that. That's how close.
Sure.
Darlington said he saw the cop on the car for 10 to 15 yards. You don't see that in the video.
No.
So it kind of, what the video does is kind of goes against what Darlington had initially reported. And I think most of us, because it was ESPN reporting it, took it as, well, there's, at some point, Scottie Scheffler's riding crazy. Remember how we talked about it? And I asked you, I said, well, Brad, that's a sense of entitlement if he went 10 to 15 yards the cop of the car. I mean, we're basing that off Jeff Darlington's report. I don't see that in these videos.
No.
I don't see him going 10 to 15 yards.
No.
So, again, all this comes down, makes Scottie Scheffler look good. It doesn't look like he dragged a cop whatsoever based on the video evidence that's out there right now.
No.
Again, kind of goes against what Jeff Darlington told us initially. There was no reason not to believe Jeff Darlington, the ESPN reporter, who is watching this as it occurs. That doesn't look like it happened. This cop, did you see his resume?
Yes, he's been through it.
Doing donuts in the car, in the police car?
With a person in it.
He's a wild man. Yeah, he's a wild man. Looked like he was having a bad day. We said that part too, though. That whatever you thought about Scotty and whether or not, you know, you're driving the cop on the car, that the cop clearly must have been an overzealous cop doing more because they had waved other golfers through.
Right.
And other cops had waved Scotty through before this cop goes and, man, it looks like he just throws himself at Scotty, slamming the car. Stop, stop, stop. It looked like he was on a power trip.
Yeah, you see this when people get upset because either they don't like the way a situation's going. You see it with non-cops. You see it with cops. Most cops, as we've said many times, and Jeff points this out on his morning show, like we have to, most cops are amazing. They're the salt of the earth. They help society. They're trying to prevent crime. They're doing the right thing. But you see it with non-police officers, too, where, you know, you're in a situation and somebody just isn't liking the way things are going.
So bro, you had no idea what
ramps up.
And exactly. It looked like a hothead like him. Could have been in any kind of mood, but it doesn't take much.
And then you sort of tell yourself a story, right?
Most are doing a good job. Most are just doing their job. But you got plenty that are, thirsty on the power.
It's
tough. Just overfed on the power of it.
Yes.
And if they're in a bad mood, they're going to give you a hard time.
Yeah. And so this is a wild
story. Looked like this cop was just intent on giving Scheffler a hard time. I must say, my guy, Tony, didn't believe it from the get-go. He was kind of like you, that this whole cop jumped on the car.
No.
Didn't believe that the cop jumped on the car.
Maybe it's...
But again, a lot of believing that early was that we were getting that report from an ESPN reporter.
I didn't believe that. No, maybe it's because I've watched thousands of hours of golf, and I've watched Scottie Scheffler. I've probably seen Scottie Scheffler interact with media, I don't know, hundreds of times. And for golf fans, they know exactly what I'm saying. He is you never want to assume something about somebody who you don't know, but like when you see somebody for hours, like when Tiger Woods, the story came out about Tiger Woods being the way he was, you could kind of see it. You could kind of see it at just how he interacted and how that could be possible about Tiger Woods. Same goes with Scheffler. When I saw this story, I'm like, okay, the last person outside of family members that I know that would drag a cop 20 yards might be Scottie Scheffler.
He is not the type.
No.
It turns out you were.
He didn't even want to say who he was.
Right.
He's that guy. He's like the guy who is at a bar and would just walk in and get a drink who he wouldn't even tell you who he is, that kind of thing. So this was a strange-ass story. And for him to be – I actually think it's even more true what happened, and you knew it when he was able to play the way he played. Because let's say that he did do something bad. Most of us, when you do something bad or there's something kind of hanging on you, it affects your day. Like, that didn't affect his day at all. It was just like, I got this situation where I had to go watch SportsCenter from a jail cell so I could see
He said it was surreal, but obviously he has an ability to focus.
That's a wild ability to focus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything like that? A person be able to go through that and then
that's
focus?
That's why you're a professional.
That's why he's Scottie Scheffler.
Professional athletes can do that. And
wild.
You and I, us civilians cannot. We got important business to tend to here after break. We're going to get to Fade Brad, the segment that has swept the nation, the wacky betting segment that
America
has swept
Square.
The nation because of its effectiveness. You Fade Brad, America Square, and you win on most nights.
Most.
We're going to try to pick it up over the weekend like you did last weekend.
Yeah.
You had a perfect offer. We're going to try
I needed it. I kind of need it right now. I'm on a heater where I've won a couple, so I need to lose a couple.
Let me tell you something. 59.1%.
Oh, we're still good? Okay, good.
That ain't nothing to
No, it's still good. Still good percentages of losing.
Scoff at exactly. That's a nice percentage that most, again, sharps would be proud to have. We're going to do that when we get back. Andy Sain joining us third hour. We'll talk about that and this at some point, too, this experience I had at a Memphis restaurant, which I'm still trying to figure out whether or not I should name, was just so utterly, embarrassingly Memphis. I had my wife with me, my son. I got to tell you what happened. There as well. We'll do all that third hour. You listen, Jason John, 929 FM ESPN. Well, Celtics minus 8.5 was the winner yesterday. So Brad calls it right again. Of course, Celtics won by 16 last night.
Every hog gets an acorn now and then.
Thanks a lot for quitting, Rick Carlisle.
Yeah.
Way to throw in the towel there.
That thing is over after game one.
It probably was. So we're now. Brad Carson is 27-39 versus the spread this postseason. In fact, I've realized this now, too. We've lost two in a row since John made the surprise appearance on Wednesday.
So he's the
hope
hex.
He didn't throw off our
he's
mojo.
The reverse hex.
I just, you know, I love blaming things on John.
And it just
occurred to me this morning that we're 0-2. Although, as we said, your bonus picks have hit.
Yes.
They are not,
should we
however,
start counting those in the total?
No, because this is your total regular record is versus spread this postseason.
That's
so
fair.
It's you got to have them outside.
All right.
But again, there's opportunity with Brad's bonus picks. They are 0-4. And that's what we want here on Fade Brad, which is a segment in which we capitalize on his ability, his consistent ability to pick losers. He's the worst of us.
The worst.
I'm square. He's square. He's America's square, right? Yeah. Highest limits.
America's square.
That we've got here at 92.9.
Yeah, $40,000 per bet.
He's
a FanDuel. If I wanted to bet it, I could.
Yep. They'll put you up at 80 if you'd like.
Whatever you want.
They love you.
You're terrible. We'll give you money to bet.
What they don't love is that we flipped it, though. On them,
turn the tables on their app,
and we told them, "Well, we're going to have Brad still pick his losers, but we're going to fade him. We're doing so at a 59.1% winning clip.
Okay. Still high,
it's very
high. Not at the 60% bar we've set, though.
You'd been over 60. These 0-2 has hurt us. Unfortunately, losses they bring you down. Score like Tigers football. You know what I'm saying? In the AAC,
right.
Wins don't get you much.
Yeah.
Loss can really hurt you and
hurt your it's like North Texas, basically.
And you did break even last night if you bet separately that Tatum over 30.5 that Brad gave us, perfect loser. Tatum had 23. Yeah.
Mm.
So if you did get that one, you broke even last night. We've got two games because we're going to take you into Saturday, obviously, with that line as well. Let's do Fade Brad Carson.
Your love is fading.
Now it's Jason and John's producer Brad sucks at sports gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
All right, tonight, 7:30. Lock it in on 92.9 FM ESPN. You can hear it live. Mavericks and Timberwolves.
Yes, sir.
I am looking at the latest line. I won't need to scroll like I usually do in those first 30 seconds to see the updated one. The one I had this morning is the one it is now over at FanDuel. Minnesota Timberwolves favored tonight by 5.5 in a game two that they absolutely must have. Brad, what say you?
So, I think the Mavericks are the better team, and I've said that from the jump.
You have. I'll give you credit. You said they're going to win this series. You said it from the get-go.
I believe in the Mavericks. I believe in Jason Kidd. I believe in their two superstars. I believe they figured out something, and they've got tall guys down low that can post up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm talking about, what is the...